I am looking forward to this next chapter in my life, really, and figure out what that is. I'm going to watch my son play high school baseball, and I'm going to watch my daughter play volleyball.
When Andy Pettit, late of the Yankees, announced his retirement at a press conference in New York yesterday, it was easy to wish him well. It was also easy to understand how Pettit had come to feel that the time to leave baseball had arrived. Though he won 11 games against only 3 losses last season, he also spent 2 months on the disabled list. Over the course of his 16-year career, 13 of those seasons with the Yankees, Pettit won 240 games, 102 more than he lost, and he compiled an earned run average of 3.88. He helped the Yankees win 5 World Series titles, pitching the final game of the series in 1998 and again in 2009. But on the occasion of Andy Pettit's retirement, it's instructive to reflect on something other than his numbers. In 2007, Andy Pettit acknowledged that back in 2002, he had used human growth hormone in an effort to speed recovery from an injury. HGH was not banned by baseball until 2005, but in the context of the inquiry into the use of performance-enhancing drugs in baseball, Pettit decided to be forthright about how he had sought chemical help for his damaged elbow. With that decision, Andy Pettit separated himself from the ballplayers who lied about their use of various substances, and from the ballplayers who chose to say nothing at all, and from the ballplayers who have found themselves in and out of court for the past several seasons. Andy Pettit's decision made it possible for him to return to his day job with a minimum of fuss. Some people remember that Pettit's name surfaced in connection with the Mitchell investigation, but on the occasion of his retirement, fans are much more likely to be talking about his impressive baseball career than about public humiliation and charges of perjury. Though he no doubt wishes it were otherwise, Andy Pettit's retirement yesterday does not mean that he will have no further connection with baseball matters. This summer, he is expected to be a witness at the trial of one of his former teammates, Roger Clemens, who has been indicted on charges that he lied to a congressional committee when he denied using performance-enhancing drugs. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Harvard University, whose Harvard Extension School offers online and on-campus courses to students around the world. extension.harvard.edu. This is NPR.
It took Beth Johnson and her husband Tony 18 months of 7-hour days to build what they hoped would be the world's largest functioning yo-yo. In order to qualify for the record, the Johnson's 7,000-pound wooden toy would have to recoil at least 3 times, 2/3 of the way up the string, each time from a height of at least 75 feet. No problem, right? The Johnsons launched their 12-foot-wide yo-yo from a crane, at which point the rope supporting it burned through, sending the yo-yo crashing to the ground. A disappointed Beth Johnson said, "It didn't do what I thought it would do."
And do the low. All right, baby, do your low yo-yo with all your stuff.